Welcome to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family, and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth, and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you.
Hello, and welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff. This is episode 57. I'm Katrina Myers.
I'm Leonie Cannon.
And I'm Christy O'Brien.
We are back on Zoom today. We're not in the same room, but we're on Zoom. So apologies for any background noises that we all may have. But today we thought we'd talk to you about time management and how we kind of operate behind the scenes in our businesses and our lives, and how we try to manage our time as best we can and be productive and not necessarily doing a great job of it all the time. I have to say, personally, time management is an ongoing challenge for me, I must say, and I think for all of us, but it's something that comes up a lot, I think, for lots of people. And it's especially as mothers, business owners, trying to work, trying to run a household, we all know about the challenges of how to be productive, how to manage our time, how to prioritize. It's a daily struggle for a lot of people. And so we thought we'd just share with you how we manage that. Because, you know, we all know that learning from each other is the best way. And hopefully, you know, probably what you'll find from all of us is that we all have different things that help all of us. And hopefully there's something in there that you can pick up for you that'll be, you know, right for where you're at right now for what you need. So, Lee, we thought we'd start with you. If you could share with us, you know, behind the scenes of what you do and how you're going, where you're up to now and how you're managing everything, especially given that recently, as we talked about last episode, you've taken on the running or the overall management of Spreading the Good Stuff. Oh, sorry, the splendid word, by yourself. So how's all that going? How are you managing your time? What do you do? Tell us the tricks.
Okay. For me, it all comes down to planning. And I think, look, it's a work in progress. I think and probably all three of us, we have the knowledge and we have the tools and we know what works for us. We know lots of ways or lots of things that we can draw on to help us manage our time, but it doesn't always mean that we're putting it into action. And I think that's definitely the big challenge. Is it's all well and good to have all these great strategies and tools to draw on to manage our time, but if we're not using them, then it's, yeah, what's the point? What's the point of knowing all that stuff if you're not going to put it into practice? And for me, I probably dip in and out of it a little bit, and I can see the huge differences in my day when I do plan and when I follow the strategies that I have as opposed to the days that I don't. So yeah, definitely since we've had the big changes in our business and since Christy has stepped out, that has meant a big change in workload. When I say I feel like I've got a lot more on my plate, a lot of it is just inside my head. It's not
mental load.
Yeah, mental load more so than having a whole lot of extra jobs that I need to be doing or writing projects or whatever. It's more just that mental load. And for me, that's probably what I find hardest, because if you are carrying all that overwhelm inside your head, then it doesn't matter what you do, it's really, really hard to be productive. So I absolutely know and can see the difference in my days when I have planned the night before and I work out of my Whole Life Success Planner, which we've spoken about before, which my sister Erin Barnes has developed. And it's just an extraordinary tool for productivity, productivity and presence. So every night I sit down with that before I go to bed, and I fill out the section on the productivity planner for the next day. And the good thing about that planner is that it's not so much a to-do list. The Whole Life Success Planner is really just around that productivity for the next day and also creating that presence in each day as well. So that's talking about the how you want to show up and how you want to feel and all those things. And that's what's really important for me in the current state that I'm in, when I do have a really full head of lots of things that I want to do. I need to really work on that more mindset present stuff. So in that planner each night, I'll sit there and yes, I'll block out how my day is going to work and what needs to be done and those sorts of things. But also within that, there's areas where I'm blocking out those little pattern interrupts during the day, where there are transitions in my day where I'm changing from getting the kids ready in the morning to stepping into my office during those transition periods, where I'll put in those pattern interrupts, which is just that mindset stuff and that how I want to feel right now. How am I going to show up? And, you know, sometimes there's affirmations and that kind of thing. So I do that every night. There's the odd occasion where I miss it, not very often these days, but if I do miss it without fail, my day is nowhere near as productive. And I certainly don't have the opportunity at the end of the day to then sit back down and have a look at what I've done through the day and congratulate myself for it and give myself a pat on the back. And then that works as the motivation to do it again the next day. So that's huge for me. I guess ritual that I do every night. The other big thing that I do, and I've been doing it for about 6 months this year, and you know, it's similar to a to-do list. And I used to always just have a to-do list in my book that I would plan. Say at the end of today's working day, I'll sit there and plan out my to-do list and projects that I need to get done for the next day. Now I've shifted all that onto Trello, and that's been actually, sounds simple, but it's been really, really big for me because it's just all in one place. I was finding that I would have a to-do list on six different books, you know, one beside my bed where I'd wake up in the middle of the night and have an idea, or I just had paper and stuff everywhere. And while I love handwriting and writing in a book, putting it all on Trello just in the one spot that it's on a checklist. So each day I jump into Trello and I have the today's date. It's got all of the things that need to be done today and I can tick them off at the end of the day. And then whatever I don't get done, I just copy it across into the board for the next day under that day. And I just feel like it's brought, because there's so many things going on in my head at the moment, being pulled in so many different directions. It's just put it all in one spot. And I don't have to worry about it. Like it's all there. It gets done. I mightn't tick everything off every day, but that's fine. There's always probably the top three or four that need to be done. And then the next things can be shifted across. And I also have a master list that I sit there alongside that, which is, you know, just some of the ideas and things that are coming up that I need to remember, but I don't need them today. I don't need to sit in my head today, but I just put them somewhere safe that I know I'm not going to forget about them. So they're kind of my main, the productivity planner, the whole life success planner, and then that Trello board with my more sort of functional to-do list for the day are the two big things for me. The thing that I'm wanting to have a look at moving forward at the moment is more around, and I know this stuff and I've learnt this stuff before, but you girls might be able to sort of jump in and give some input on this as to whether you do it yourselves, but actually looking at my week and breaking it down, chunking it into areas that are not just, you know, rock up every day and work through my to-do list, but I'll have a designated day that is where I do all my book work, or whether it's a half a day to do all the book work and the back end stuff on the business, as opposed to just in and out, jumping in and out, do a bit of, you know, writing for a client here for this hour, and then in another hour I'll jump in and pay an invoice, or I'll pay one of my freelancers, or, you know, I feel like,
yeah,
sometimes when you're getting drawn away from the actual work in your business where you're working for, in our instance, for our clients and doing all of our copywriting, and then you've got the other side of the business, which is that working on it and doing all those other back end things that you have to do, I think for me moving forward, that's something I really want to start trialing, is just saying, okay, on a Wednesday morning, that's my morning that I do all of my coding and my invoicing, and you know,
and I feel like because of the nature of our work, that creative writing, you really do need to have that headspace. And if you're kind of chopping and changing in a 2 hour block that you're meant to be creating some magic words for people, it's hard to be jumping in at an email and invoicing and whatever, because it's a different headspace, you know? So I feel like not only is it great just to dedicate time to do that stuff, but it's probably better for the other stuff as well, like for the actual creative writing. And it's hard because you feel like you want to do that stuff all the time and keep on top of it. But by keeping on top of it every hour, you're kind of limiting capacity to be productive. And I know we've talked on the podcast before about, you know, that stat around being interrupted by email or an invoice that pops into your inbox. Like it's 22 minutes to go back to the task you're doing. So every time you have that interruption, it's hard to get back.
That's right. And I feel like that's my main struggle at the moment is, thank goodness for my productivity planner and my Trello board. And I'm definitely getting through the work and getting through what I need to get done. But I feel like there are some ways that I could be more productive, and they're some of the things that I want to try. The other big thing that I do, and I don't do it every day, but when I do it makes a huge difference to the day, and that's as soon as I sit down at the desk, is just not checking my email, turning my phone off, and also putting it, not off, turning it on silent and putting it out of reach. Need it, I have to get up and go and get the phone, not just have it there tempting me to pick it up. But also not checking my emails until 10 o'clock. So I give myself from 8 till 10 to just get 2 hours of solid work in. Then that's getting my work and my priorities done rather than being interrupted by what everybody else is needing from me. I don't do it every day because sometimes I know there's an email coming in that I'm waiting on me, so I will check it. And straight away on the days when I do that, I'm off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing what everyone else is needing me to do. So I think that's a really big one for me.
That's interesting, isn't it? Like you kind of, you feel like you're so drawn to that email inbox, aren't you? Like, even on your phone first thing in the morning, like it's such a habit, you know? And that's the one thing I've really noticed since stepping out. My head's definitely more sort of not as full. When we talked about it in the last conversation, and I know that Lee's is a bit fuller than mine. Which I'm mindful of. But for me, like, even though I don't need to be in my inbox as much as I used to be, like I'm going there all the time, you know, which is, it's out of pure habit. So now, particularly on a Friday where I'm not kind of, you know, scheduled to be doing any work at all, I just try not to touch it. But the amount of times I catch myself on my phone just checking it, like mindlessly, it's ridiculous. Like I'm not that important. I do not need to check my inbox when I'm not working.
And Katrina and I were talking off air just before you jumped in on the call too, Christy, about the number of avenues that there are these days for us to be interrupted, where people are needing something from us. When I say needing something from us, I don't mean that in an awful way.
A response.
They're needing some kind of response. And like we were reeling them off before, and, you know, yes, of course, you've got your email, and then you've got your text messaging, you've got instant messenger, you've got
WhatsApp,
you've got whatever social Instagram media platforms message. You are on.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
You know, someone can comment on a post or ask you something on a post that you've written, or it could be on your stories, or it could be on your reels, or it could be on your Instagram TV, or it could be in your direct messages, or it could be it is
everywhere.
It is such a challenge to manage all that stuff. So that's where time management just becomes more and more important, because otherwise our days are being driven by all that stuff.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I found
absolutely.
Recently.
What about?
Sorry, Katrina, you go.
No, I was going to say, what about you, Chris?
Okay.
What are yours?
So yeah, I found recently because I don't have as much sort of to be across. We were talking just before too. Sometimes the more time you have, the more unproductive you are. You think I've got all this space, and then you kind of get to 1 o'clock and go, what has happened to my morning? And I know that can happen to anyone that you know in any workplace or space or whatever, but. So I feel like for me, I've had to really compartmentalize, and I've got, you know, my days are quite set, and I've recently gone back to my beautiful little forest app, which I've talked about a lot on the podcast, kind of like with Trello. I wondered how long it would take for Trello to enter the conversation.
I was wondering that too. You guys,
Katrina's rolling your eyes. But I'm the same, and I have only just transitioned away from a written to-do list, which is harder than it is, you know, in theory. It's like in practice to actually not have a to-do list sitting on your desk. It feels a bit weird, but I'm the same, and I've only sort of had one board now on Trello for, I've got a column for work stuff and a column for, you know, to-do list jobs for the family and stuff as well. So I find having that one space, that one kind of check-in space is fantastic for me.
But sorry, Chris, just on that, like, so do you just have, is it, you just have a Trello board that's solely like your to-do list?
It's yeah,
like
so it's Christy's weekly, you know, Trello board, and I've got a column for exercise, like health and wellbeing. I've got a column for home stuff, even things like meals and shopping lists and that sort of stuff, jobs to do, like paperwork jobs for the family, Splendid Word stuff, Charles L. King stuff, and then it goes on to like holidays, which hasn't been very busy this year, obviously, but it's got everything there, you know, and we had a list out of stuff we needed to do around the house, and Troy does, actually, my husband does go in there and check it. He doesn't know how to use it. So that's great, because that's one space, because I send him an email about something and I just would get lost and vice versa. So I feel like that's really handy. And because Trello's on your phone as well, like it is amazing. So that's been great. But I must admit, just being more productive with my extra space that I have and being a bit sort of structured and just, you know, the minute that I kind of turn on that Forest app and just say, right, I'm going to just not touch my phone because it's on my phone for 45 minutes and just get some work done. I find if I do that a couple of times, particularly in the morning, all of a sudden I'll just be in this workflow. And you know when you look at your phone and it tells you your screen time for the day, which can be a little bit confronting sometimes. Mm. You know, like in yesterday, my minutes in the productivity, so my phone actually breaks it down to social, productivity and entertainment on my phone. I'm sure everyone else's iPhones are the same. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how accurate it is. I did notice that if you have windows open, like, you know, screens open, it actually, it'll keep calculating even though you're not using your phone. So it may not be super accurate, but like yesterday, my productivity on there was way more than my social or my anything. And I felt really proud of that. So mm-hmm. you can kind of look at that and go, right, I know that I'm at least attempting to be more productive. But yeah, that's probably where I'm at the moment. And also too, like, I think one thing you said before about going back and looking at your productivity planner is actually celebrating the stuff that you do. Because mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes we're so bloody hard on ourselves and we don't get that thing done. And then we actually stop and look at what we had to deal with in a day. Like, you know, whether it be kid stuff or, you know, phone calls coming in or just getting dinner ready, whatever. Like there's stuff we have to do outside our work. So to celebrate the wins and to celebrate the stuff we are doing rather than, you know, focus on the stuff we're not getting to. Because I feel like then you feel like you're failing if you're not getting to everything. And having that master list with, because you're never going to get to all those things. And we've talked in the past, I think, Katrina, you might touch on this, but just having three things to get done for the day, you know, that's a great little kind of way to start. So that's probably it from me. The Forest app, mm-hmm. definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Excellent. Thank you, girls. Yeah, so for me, yeah, so mine are probably a little bit more like, I don't know, like the first thing I would say is it's about creating the space. So the biggest thing that's been good for me for my time management and productivity is meditating. I know that we harp on about that a lot on the podcast, but for me, it's exactly what you were talking about, Lee. It's that headspace. So it's the mental load, really, that because you can feel super busy in your head. And I think this is the biggest contrast for me since learning to meditate and since working on my well-being, getting my foundations right. So all of that stuff, I would say, is so crucial for your time management and your productivity, because if your head's busy and you've got a lot of negative self-talk going on, your inner critic's going flat out and you're chaos in your head, then your life feels busy. So it's full, even though you're actually not being very productive and you're not actually getting that much done. So I would say for me, that's the number one thing, is to really do that work on, you know, the mindfulness, the meditation, the working on just making sure that your foundations of well-being are all going well. Because if you can get all that stuff right, then you'll find that everything else clears up so much more because your head's so much clearer. So that's the number one thing for me. And then sort of flowing on from that is boundaries and being able to say no. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge thing for time management as well, because we all, especially as women, find it really hard to say no and find it really hard to put boundaries in place. And so while you're saying yes to everybody and you're not, you know, prioritizing your own time, then again, that just fills up your day. You get really busy doing a lot of stuff for other people, things that you don't really want to be doing, and your time gets filled up with all that sort of stuff. And you just like learning to say no, which again is only possible really for you if you've got that foundation of well-being in place. It sounds so easy. I'll just say no to things, but we all know how hard that is.
Mm.
And unless you're feeling good and confident in yourself, it's very hard to say no to other people because you don't want to let people down, and boundaries are really
And you don't
hard,
want to miss so. Out on the fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to miss out on the fun. Totally. Totally. But that's also though, like sometimes, you know, you might be saying yes to things that you don't really want to do and no to things that you do. Like, so again,
there's a difference, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And actually being really, really firm on what you actually do want to do. So don't say no to the things that are fun and that you really want to do. Say yes to those and no to the things that you just feel like you should be doing out of obligation.
Feeling obliged.
Mm. Yeah. So that's crucial as well, I think. And remembering that, you know, busy is a choice. Being busy is a choice. Every single thing we do in life actually comes back to a choice, whether we're aware of it or not. And sometimes we'll be like, oh, well, I need to be busy to make money. Well, it's still a choice, you know, or I need to be busy because I've got to do this. Like everything at the end of the day is a choice. So taking that time to stop and think, all right, well, what am I choosing that's making me so busy that I don't have time and I'm so chaotic and everything feels out of control? What's the choice?
And I think that's
a
great point, Katrina. Like we had a whole episode on busy a couple of years ago now. It's one of our most popular episodes. I think I'm not sure which one. We'll put it in the show notes, but go back and have a listen, because it is a whole a conversation for another day. But mm-hmm. it is a badge of honor. I'm so busy, you know, and mm-hmm. and it's a place to hide. And it's a place to kind of feel needed, and you know. But it is crazy, and I think COVID has probably, hopefully, taught us. Well, we didn't have a choice to be less busy. And
mm-hmm. oh, exactly. And it was one of the
and for some people it was hard. COVID. Yeah,
yeah.
Lovely, it was one of the lovely for things, some,
wasn't it? Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. Where some people went, oh, great, awesome. I've got, you know, I've got this downtime now. I'm not so busy. And other people went, oh, goodness, this is confronting.
Yes, what, exactly.
I don't know how to be if I'm not busy. And this is a huge totally. Problem for people. Is
yeah.
Because busy is really like a mask for a lot of things. Like totally. It's like drinking alcohol or binge eating or whatever. Like keeping ourselves busy is often just hiding from addressing the things that we actually need to address, or spending that time with ourselves because we're scared of actually being in our own thoughts or giving ourselves space. So we're busy so that we can, you know, keep ourselves occupied.
Mind you, and I agree 100% with that. But at the same time, that's not to discount the fact that as women, particularly, you know, running your own businesses or people who are working full time and raising families and having all of those things going on, it is a really full life, a full
oh, totally.
Time in life, and there are a lot of things to manage. So I think it's important also to point out for people, like it's not just a state of mind. Like some people
yeah, yeah.
have a lot of things on their plate, and even like think of single parents, you know, there's a lot of things that they need to get done in a day, but it still comes back to having that really solid foundation and looking after your mental health. And another big thing that we haven't touched on, and which I'm not good at, is asking for help.
Totally.
You know, sometimes totally. We think that we have to do it all, and then that can create such a full-on busy, you know, days, weeks, months. But there are things that we can outsource, and there are ways that we can ask for help, and there are ways that we can take some of that load off our plate.
Definitely.
And I think that's exactly that last right week. There. Yeah, you know, I knew I had a full week in terms of projects on the go and client load, and then, you know, coaching and kids and sport, and one of my kids had surgery and my husband was working away all week. And so when I sat down on the Sunday night and looked at that week and how full it was, I was like, right, what can I outsource? And it was, you know, calling on my good friend Michelle Theodore for some meals for the week, and
yeah,
you know, calling on other people to help with the other kids in picking them up, or like it was just, it's such an important thing that I think as women a lot of us don't do well is ask for help.
Absolutely. Totally. And don't play the martyr. We're good at being the martyr too. Like often we take all that responsibility on, and then we say, oh, like, and I get what you're saying, and that like women, and but all that, but you're so right. And a lot of the time we put that on ourselves, and not by, it's not our fault at all. Not at all. It's so
society.
It is society, and it's so complex. But so doing that work to build up your own strength, and it's not like overnight you can just go, oh, great, I'm just going to ask my mother-in-law for help. I'm going to ask all these people. I'm going to get a cleaner. Like it doesn't, you don't just like magically all of a sudden go, great, I'm just going to stop. Yes, it absolutely is. And that's the work, is to getting that to that point where you can, you know, trust yourself and respect yourself enough and have enough self-compassion really to do exactly what you did, Lee, to say, all right, well, I need help with this. I can't manage all this by myself. So really, really, really important. And I love what you said there. And the last thing that I would do, like my number one, like this little tip thing really, is that the night before that planning, like so spending that time the night before, doing the like just, if it's 5 minutes, just writing what you're going to achieve the next day, exactly what you said too, again, Lee, with your sister Erin's whole life planner thing. That's amazing, I think, to do that. Makes a huge difference. Like it's just such a simple little thing, 5 minutes, but sets your next day up so much better. So yeah
love
that one as well.
That's, I really wanted to touch on something Katrina that you mentioned earlier on about meditation. I know we do bang on about the benefits as well, but I think there's some misconceptions with meditation as well. I was talking to my mum recently about memory and clarity, and I said, oh, mum, are you using that Calm app, you know, it's really great. She goes, oh, well, I'm actually haven't, because I'm not very stressed at the moment, I don't feel like I need it, you know. I go, well, that's great that you're not stressed, but I go, actually, you know, I use it a lot too, because it gives me clarity. Like it just makes, and I think, well, for me, it just makes my head clearer. And then when things do pop up, I'm less kind of, I suppose, stressed out, you know. Yeah. So I think knowing that those things aren't just there if you are stressed out or like, you know, in a crisis, like they're actually there to help clear your mind. As you said, it's that headspace. So, and
that's the preparation is everything.
yeah, it might be exercise or spending time in nature or doing stuff like that, that just gives you that clarity, that bit of headspace, you know, like means you don't need to kind of write things down. Like I find if I do meditation regularly, I don't even need a to-do list. I just remember stuff compared to when I think back.
Oh,
what 100%. I used to be like. I was like, I forget stuff all the time. And I feel I'm exactly the same. An age where my memory, my brain fog is, it should be getting worse, just hormones and whatever. But I feel my clarity is better than it was 5 years ago. So
I think that too. I hate to think what I'd be like if I wasn't meditating, because my memory's terrible and I do meditate every day. So gosh, imagine what I'd be in a bit of trouble if I wasn't doing it.
So that's probably it on time management. We will include all the links of all the things we've talked about, and they are stuff, you know, that we've talked about in the past as well. But it's always really great to share this stuff, because, you know, we don't have all the answers, but these are the things that we love to use.
And I think too, Chris, just before you wrap that up, I was just thinking as we were chatting before as well, it is such a pertinent time to talk about time management for a number of reasons, because we're about to head into that
silly season. Of course.
Even though it may look a little bit different, Christmas, to what it has in the past, we're about to ramp up into that time. And not only that, that's almost like Christmas and this festive season is going to coincide with life opening up. And, you know, Melbourne has just opened up here where we're recording on the New South Wales-Victorian border for us at Atikamwamra and Katrina at Barramundi. The borders are, we hope, opening, you know, next week. So... life is going to open up more sport and things are starting up again for our kids. So all of a sudden those empty calendars are filling up again. So
social
all,
stuff.
And it's all happening at once. So we're going from having had not much on to all of a sudden all the kids' commitments are happening again. Everyone's allowed to see each other again, and Christmas is coming. So everyone's organising lots and lots of catch ups. I don't know about you girls, but I feel like every day there's invitations coming in for let's all get together here. Like, I had a look at my diary for next week and there's stuff on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, like in the evenings.
Get anxiety just thinking about it.
My diary has not looked like that for the whole year. And that just crept up because I didn't even kind of realise and look ahead. And now that I'm looking ahead, I'm thinking, oh gosh, we've all got to be really careful to protect our time and just take that bit of extra care over this next 4 or 5 weeks leading into Christmas.
And I know
I think that's such good advice, Lee. I think that's, you're so right. Just have a think, like just take that bit of extra care and think about it, like, and just think, you know, because we've come out of this period of really like a lot less. So just be careful going back into it and just notice how that affects you as well, I think, because, you know, and think about that time when you had the quiet time. How did that make you feel? Mm-hmm. And as you start to get busy again, do you feel the anxiety creeping back in? And how's that playing out for you? And what can you put in place so that you don't get just back into that busy so quickly again? Yeah, I think that's really good advice, Lee.
Sorry, Chris, leaning into those. I was just going to say, and leaning into those things that are important, like when it comes to making those decisions about what you're saying yes to and what you'd perhaps prefer to say no to. And I know this time last year we were preparing for one of our Spreading the Good Stuff live events, which haven't happened all year due to COVID, around gratitude. And I was just thinking to myself, last year we all had a 24 days of gratitude where we, from the 1st of December, we you know, shared something we were grateful for. So I'm thinking I might tackle that again this year.
Oh yeah, we should do that again. That process. Was so
lovely. It's a really good idea.
It was really great. And I love doing it because it just made you stop and go, oh, I'm really grateful, even though because when you get busy, you just kind of don't see those things. You're just too busy going, oh God, I've got that thing to do or whatever.
And I think saying no for a lot of people in this next 4 or 5 weeks is harder than it's ever been before, because all of these things that are coming up they're being organised because we haven't seen anyone and we haven't seen each other. So, I mean, it's hard to say no because you actually want to see them all. You want to see these people, but you can't do it every day of the week, can you?
No, you can't.
No, and also just don't feel bad. Like, I think that's a big thing as well. You don't have to feel bad. It's okay. Like, if you don't want to do all the social things, you just don't feel like doing it. It's so fine just to say no. Like, and if that's because you want to spend time with because what you've always got to remember, if you're saying yes to that, you're saying no to something else, which is usually your family. And like what I found over the weekend is I had two social functions. So then I'm really tired. And then Monday, cranky. I'm depleted. And then you think, oh gosh, well, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do, you know?
Yeah, so, I know.
And it's okay to say no and put your own health and your family and all that stuff first, as hard as it is.
it is okay, and you don't have to feel bad for it. And I think that's the thing. But I do agree, Lee, it's very going to be very challenging over the next bit because everyone wants to see each other again.
Totally. So and I think
it's even harder.
Number one tip is just to be mindful of it. I think that's probably the best way to go. So we probably need to start wrapping up, and we might finish with what we're loving. Do you want to start, Katrina?
Oh yes. Okay. Well, I'm
got a
actually
list?
Loving as always.
Really?
Loving lots of things. I'm fully loving my Jim Fortin course, which is called Total Transformation. Highly recommend listening to his podcast. Love it. He's got a podcast. I think it's just the Jim Fortin podcast, which I love. And he recommended this book, which is called, I'm showing it because we're on Zoom, but no one can see me. The girls can see me.
What to say
when you talk to yourself.
Okay.
So, because, you know, like what we often talk about, the inner critic and the negative self-talk and all that sort of stuff, it's actually like everything. The way you talk to yourself is everything. So I'm really loving getting into that book. And Jim Fortin talks a lot about that in the course, and it's all that self-talk and choices, habits, all that good stuff. So yep, that's mine. Love it.
Excellent. What about you, Lee?
At the moment I'm just loving all these opportunities for learning and growth. I feel like I've just got so much on the go, which is adding to the full head at the moment, but in a really good way. It's nice to feel like you're extending yourself, and I've just had so much going on with this coaching and other things that I've been learning. But I'm doing a Zoom call on Thursday, which I'm really excited about. And this podcast will be on air in the morning. So we can put the link in for this if anybody's interested. But it's with Dr. Ben Palmer, and he is a professor in emotional intelligence at Swinburne Uni. He's also the CEO of Genos International, it's called. So he's the first, he's developed the first Australian model and assessment of emotional intelligence specifically for the workplace. So this Zoom call on Thursday that I'm doing, 11 a.m. till 12 p.m., is called Having a Positive Influence on Others.
Oh, love it.
And it's designed to help people improve their interactions and spread positivity, particularly off the back of COVID. But it's just about exploring that idea of stretching yourself to go that little bit further with your kindness and your care and compassion for people that you come into contact with, whether it's in your family or community or in your workplace. So as soon as I saw the kind of heading about having a positive influence on others, I just thought, oh, that just sounds like such a great course.
Yeah, totally.
So obviously, I haven't done it yet, but I think it sounds pretty cool. So we'll include the link for that one as well.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. And the podcast normally drops really early in the morning, isn't it? Like 5 or 6 a.m. So there's time to jump in and become part of that if people want too late.
Yep. That's right.
Okay, so that's you, Lee.
What about you?
Well, I'm actually loving swimming. I don't think I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. But back in the river with my swimming buddies. I think we've got an official name now. We're called the Barracudas, which is kind of cool. And there's a collection of us. I've started swimming in the river early in the morning with my brother probably five years ago, and we've got a bit of a tribe now. And you know, 6 a.m. when the sun's coming up over the Murray, it's just magic. And the river's kind of warm enough. I mean, we wear wetsuits still at this time of year, but I'm just loving that and how it just sets me up for my day. And I just crave it. Like, there's not many things I bounce out of bed for because I love my bed, but I'm just loving how it makes me feel both physically and emotionally. And yeah, it's something that I feel like is just, I don't know what I would do without it. So that's me. That's what I'm loving.
Love it.
And that's about it. So that's probably everything for today's conversation. We, as always, we thought it would be short and sweet, but it's probably longer than we thought. So thank you for hanging with us, guys, for time management. And if anyone out there has some time management skills I'd love to share, please do drop us a line, either in our direct messages through socials, email, through our businesses. You can find us pretty much anywhere. And that's probably it. So thank you, ladies, for chatting and for spreading the good stuff, as we always try and do.
That's thank great. You, Chris. Lovely to chat to you guys. I hope that was useful for you guys listening. And be back in a couple of weeks.
Chat soon. Bye for now.
December.
Oh, wow. Look out.
Lots of gratitude. I'm thinking already.
Yeah, let's get it happening.
Yeah,
bye for now.
Definitely.
Okay. See you later.
Bye. You've been listening to Spreading the Good Stuff, the podcast. Remember, you can subscribe over at iTunes. We'd love you to leave us a rating. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the handle Spreading the Good Stuff. You can find all our show notes and previous episodes at our website, thesplendidword.com.au. Thanks for listening.